Welcome to another episode of the Clement Podcast. If you're joining us for the first time, Zach and I bring you state and national history locally in Dixon County, Tennessee. We aim to bring you stories that impact our nation, our state, and our county through the lens of a small southern county. And today, we're going to take you on a little bit of a road trip. We're heading to former U.S. Congressman Bob Clement's home to interview him about his remarkable life and career. This is episode 5.1, Clement Conversations, U.S. Congressman Bob Clement. Born Robert Nelson Clement on September 23, 1943, to parents Governor Frank G. Clement and Lucille Clement, Mr. Clement has dedicated his life to public service. As you will hear over the course of these next two episodes, Bob Clement has impacted state and national history in many ways. He was a member of the National Guard and the Reserves. He has served on the Tennessee Public Service Commission and the Tennessee Valley Authority, and he served as a U.S. Congressman in Tennessee's 5th District. Today, one of the many roles Mr. Clement takes on is as a member of the Board of Directors for the Clement Railroad Hotel Museum. Along with his wife, Mary Clement, he is one of our greatest supporters, helping us with events like Legacy every year. And stay tuned at the end of this episode. I will tell you all about our annual Legacy event. And we are so excited to bring you this very special first interview with former Congressman Bob Clement. Let's get into it.
Hello, Zach. Hello, Jasmine.
Here we are with former United States Congressman Bob Clement, coming with a different episode than normal. This is our first interview. Bob, how are you doing today?
I'm doing great, and good to be with you and Jasmine today.
We are very glad to have you here on the Clement Podcast, where we bring state and national history locally. And of course, Bob, you got a lot of history to talk about. So let's kind of start with the beginning. So Bob, you had a different childhood than most people. Let's start with that. Who were your parents?
Well, Frank G. Clement and Lucille Christensen Clement, and my father being from Dixon County and my mother from Houston County, and they married at 19 years of age, eloped, went across the Tennessee line into Kentucky, and married, and everything else is history.
All right, and you were the first of the children.
I was. They thought I might be the only child or the only male child, so I was named after both my grandfathers, grandparents, to show respect for them. So my name's Robert Nelson Clement. Robert on my father's side and Nelson because my grandfather on my mother's side was Nels, or that's what we called him.
When we talk a lot about your upbringing, there is a difference in pre-1952 and then after your father became governor. So was there a change in your life before and after that?
A lot, because my father was in the U.S. Army. He was in the FBI, and he'd been an attorney. He was general counsel of the Tennessee Public Service Commission and very active in the Democrat Party with the Young Democrats. And as you know, he was elected at age 32, and I was only 9 years of age, and my brother Frank was 3, and my brother Gary wasn't even born yet. And Dad was elected governor November the 4th, 1952. And then later that month, James Gary Clement came into the picture, was born November the 28th, 1952.
Now, we have in the museum, on our second floor, we have a great photograph of your father giving his inaugural address in 1953 at the War Memorial in Nashville, Tennessee. And next to your mother in the photo are two empty chairs. And the story, I guess, you know, you and Frank, was it just Frank that caused a little bit of trouble at the inauguration and had
well,
to be?
Well, he was squirming around a little bit. I always put a lot on him because he was younger at age 3, and maybe I was a little better child at age 9, but I'm not sure.
Your father became governor when you were 9 years old. Mm-hmm. My question on that is, when did you kind of realize who your dad was? I mean, and the importance of him being governor and those things, because, I mean, you probably just viewed him as dad. But when did you kind of realize of the significance of that role?
Well, the entire family traveled the whole state, all 95 counties, really. And Frank and I wore T-shirts, and on the front of the T-shirts were "Vote for my daddy," and on the back, "Frank Clement." And my mother would always tease at home and have a T-shirt on just around the house and pull it down on in front of herself and "Vote for my daddy," thinking about Gary Clement's getting ready to be born. So that's part, but we didn't share that with the media or the newscast, right, or anything.
Now, as he was governor over three terms, did you see him change as a leader between his first term compared to his third?
No, not really. How I always describe him, he was a high-spirited racehorse and would run as hard as he could, as fast as he could, and accomplish as much as he could. And he did that in those short few years. And only two other men in Tennessee history ever served longer than my father. And that was the first governor, John Sevier, and the third governor, William Carroll, who went out of office in 1835. And they both served 12 years as governor. My father served 10 years as governor and accomplished so much in such a short period of time, and then tragically lost his life at age 49 in an automobile accident in Nashville.
What impact do you think that had on you? You were in the military at the time.
Yeah, I was. Matter of fact, Dad was in the military too. Still, the National Guard was really at a low ebb, not looked upon fondly, and so Dad wanted to do everything he could to boost the National Guard, because Governor of Tennessee, whoever, is commander of the troops, unless they're federalized by the President of the United States. So he wanted to build morale, build spirit as much as he could, but better training and all that. So he put a lot of emphasis in that area, and during that period of time, spent time not only in the Army National Guard, but the Air National Guard, and he asked special permission to pull his guard duty where I was on active duty at Fort Gordon, which was amazing, at Fort Gordon, Georgia, and in Georgia. And that's exactly where he was stationed when he was in the U.S. active U.S. Army, was Fort Gordon, Georgia, at the MP school. And then to have him be able to spend the last 2 weeks of his life with me. And then he flew back to Nashville and within a few days lost his life in an automobile accident. So I'm proud to be able to say I got to spend the last 2 weeks of his life where we could spend it together before that tragedy occurred.
Now, one thing you mentioned that really stands out to me, and I've heard you say this before, your father at 16 years old started telling people that he was going to be governor of Tennessee one day. And you've made the point that the earlier a young person can make up their mind on what they want to do, the better shot they'll have at kind of accomplishing these goals. What did you want to be? What did you want to do?
Well, I knew at a very young age that I wanted to run for public office. But the difference was my father made up his mind, I want to be governor of Tennessee. And that was his one and only goal, really, to be governor. And he got that chance three times. I took a different approach. I knew I was going to run for political office, but I didn't know what I was going to run for. And I ended up in my first office running for the Tennessee Public Service Commission. It was a statewide elected office. And so I was able to get elected at age 29.
Which, of course, for those listening, is a great trivia fact, because Mr. Bob Clement here holds the record still today as the youngest person to ever win a statewide election in the history of Tennessee.
That's true. I guess I do have that distinction. And then with the state legislature and the governor years later abolishing the Public Service Commission, which should have never happened because it served so well regulating your private investor-owned utilities like the telephone companies and railroads and trucking lines and in Tennessee. And someone needs to fight for the consumer, and that's what I surely did as a member of the Public Service Commission. Got to spend 6 years there and the last 2 years as chairman.
Now, at age 29, though, what pushed you to run so young?
Well, I had been in the U.S. Army, and I came home and ended up going to work for the University of Tennessee. But before I went to work for University of Tennessee in Nashville and Knoxville, Middle Tennessee and East Tennessee, I had asked the chairman of the Public Service Commission, because he knew my father real well, for a job at the Public Service Commission. And I never could get his attention, and I never got that job until 1 week before I announced for the Public Service Commission. I got a call, says, we believe we found you a job. And I knew it was too little too late then, because I'd already made up my mind I was going to run for Public Service Commission. Heck or high water, I was running. And so I said, I am so happy where I am. I believe I'll just stay at University of Tennessee. And then 1 week later, I announced for the Public Service Commission. So my adrenaline was flowing pretty good. And we carried all 95 counties. Matter of fact, I only lost two or three precincts in the entire state of Tennessee. We got 76% of the vote against the chairman of the Tennessee Public Service Commission. So I guess that made history, too.
Yeah, it's also another record. That same year you became the youngest person to ever win a statewide election, you also hold the state record for largest win over an incumbent.
Yeah.
It was a 2-1.
Yeah.
Was the margin there.
But I tell you, it wasn't easy in the general election. I ran against the minority leader of the Republican Party in the state Senate, a very competent person by the name of Tom Garland from Greenville, Greene County. At that time, Tennessee was predominantly a Democrat state, where now it's predominantly a Republican state, so much has changed over the years.
It definitely has. Now, you served on the Public Service Commission for a number of years, and then went on to the TVA.
Yeah.
President Carter appointed you to that position.
Correct.
What was the process going from the Public Service Commission to the TVA?
Well, I served my full term on the Tennessee Public Service Commission, and I had to make a decision that last year. Do I seek re-election to the Public Service Commission or run for governor? And I ran for governor, and we ran a great race. We came within 30,000 votes of getting the Democrat nomination. It fell just slightly off. But I'll never forget that race. After the race, I had a survey done. What did I do wrong? And it came back, Clement, they think you're honest. They think you're well organized. You had a great message, but you look too young. So I said, oh my goodness. But I did, as my grandmother, Maybelle Clement from Dixon, used to say, says, Bob, you are a great candidate and all that, but you look so much younger than even your father looked when he ran for governor of Tennessee. And I think that did make a difference.
Oh, I'm sure. I'm sure.
But after that, it came out of the clear blue sky. I did not push for that, even though I had worked for Jimmy Carter previously for president, because at that particular time, all the way from the Civil War up to the present time, no Southerner other than being from Texas, Lyndon Johnson, you could look at it as a Southern state or a Western state, could be elected president of the United States. Jimmy Carter came along and changed that. And I had worked in his campaign, and he knew me personally. And Governor Ned Ray McWhorter and U.S. Senator Jim Sasser both recommended me strongly to President Carter to appoint me to the TVA board. And the TVA, as y'all know, was formed, established by Franklin Delano Roosevelt to bring us out of unbelievable poverty and flooding and all kinds of economic problems in order for us to have some prosperity that we have today. And so Franklin Roosevelt established the TVA in 1933. And so I got to serve on it. Just the three of us at that time served on it and had a $6 billion budget and approximately 50,000 employees and served parts of seven states, predominantly Tennessee.
Now, how long did you serve on that?
A year and a half. I served the unexpired term of Bill Jenkins, okay, who was the TVA director, and he resigned early. And normally it was a 9-year term. So I served the unexpired term. And during that period of time, President Ronald Reagan was elected president, and I could have pushed to be reappointed, but for various reasons, I decided not to pursue that and pursue other interests. So when my term expired, I left the TVA.
And of course, I guess that was decent timing, because that's around the time you start looking towards Lebanon, Tennessee.
Well, not just, not immediately. I started a firm, a real estate syndication firm. We buy and sell in apartments and shopping centers, and I did that for a while. And I enjoyed it, too. That's what I got my college degree in at University of Tennessee, was real estate and public finance. After I'd done it for a while, myself and two other partners, then out of the clear blue sky again, because I sure didn't plan it, I got a call from the search committee at Cumberland University, where my father and grandfather, Robert Clement, and matter of fact, about five members of my family had attended or graduated from Cumberland University, saying, "We'd like to submit your name for consideration." Now, I didn't know we were going to have 65 candidates want to be president of Cumberland University. Then it got down to the top three, and then I was chosen to be president of Cumberland University, and I served for 4.5 years there and moved it from a 2-year college to a 4-year college and got it fully accredited and tripled the private gifts to the university and doubled the educational income. I tell people that's the toughest job I ever had, and it really was.
And see, that's the thing about the Clement family that I've noticed, is you said your dad was a racehorse. You all seem to be, Bob. You had three great careers by the time you were 40 years old.
Well, I hate to say it, I've had seven careers. As a matter of fact, the speeches I make, I always remind the folks I'm having a hard time holding a job. I need all the help I can get. But I've enjoyed them all. I tell people, Zach, you know, there are chapters in your life. Make the most of every chapter. And sure, we can all look back at our lives and say, gosh, I should have done this, I should have done that, and whatever. But that's second guessing. Make the most of every chapter in your life, and I think you'll be much happier and much more challenged.
What a great piece of advice to end part one on. And there is so much more we still have to talk about, including all of those years spent in Congress. So be sure to look out for part two. It should be up with this episode, so you can just continue to listen. And as promised, I'm going to tell you a little bit about our annual legacy event that Bob and his wife Mary help us put on every single year. It is so important to us as a historical site to preserve the legacy of those past and present that have made significant contributions to our area, our state, our nation. And we do so every year by hosting a big, fun fundraiser event that we call Legacy. Every year, we pick a nominee. We honor them, we serve some food and some drinks, and we have a great time. And this year, we have such an exciting program lined up. We have a special guest speaker, Cal Turner Jr., the former CEO of Dollar General. And we also have our honoree and musical guest, Mark Colley, coming to join us. So mark your calendars for November 10th, 2022. The event starts at 5:30, and you can purchase tickets now online or in person or over the phone at the museum. And if you're wanting to do that, the phone number is 615-446-0500, or just stop in and pay us a visit and see the museum while you're here. If you have any questions or just want to know some more information about Legacy or our other events, please be sure to visit us on any of our social media platforms by searching for Clement Railroad Hotel Museum. It's at CRHM_Dixon on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, and now TikTok, or by visiting our website at www.clementrailroadmuseum.com. Don't forget to join us for part two of this episode, Clement Conversations, Congressman Bob Clement. And as always, take us out, Frank.
Precious Lord, take our hand, lead us on. Thank you.